Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, November 11th, 2010, Veterans Day. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. Well, this week I head to Broken Bow, Oklahoma to attend a Stein Brew. Members of the Fellowship of Oklahoma Ale Makers built a big fire and brewed with hot rocks, and they were kind enough to invite me and you along for the day. If you're new to home brewing and would like to get into the hobby for the first time, check out our website, basicbrewing.com, where you can find archives of our audio and video podcasts and our DVDs to walk you through basic and more advanced brewing techniques. And you can follow me on Twitter. I'm Basic Brewing, all one word. You can find me on Facebook at facebook.com/basicbrewing.james, and our show page on Facebook is at facebook.com/basicbrewing. Thanks to everybody clicking on the Amazon.com associate link on our basicbrewing.com site. Whenever you think of Amazon, think of us and click on our associate link first. It won't cost you any extra. You'll be helping us to bring you the show, and we greatly appreciate your support. We also have associate links for Brew Your Own Magazine and the American Homebrewers Association on our site, too. And our iPhone app is in the iTunes store, and you can find us on the BlackBerry podcast directory now, too. Our 2011 Brewer's Logbook is now shipping. I've sent out a bunch already, and I'm being told that by this time next week, our extract brewing and partial mashing DVD will be here at the house, ready for me to box up and ship out, so stay tuned for that. As I said in the beginning, November 11th is Veterans Day. It originally started off as Armistice Day to celebrate the end of World War I, the war to end all wars. And, of course, it didn't end all wars, so we continue to require the services of our men and women in uniform. For example, my dad put his high school education on hold to join the Navy during World War II. And during that time, there was a time of sacrifice in the country where every citizen in the United States was required to do without in one way or another to further the war effort. So in addition to the absence and loss of family members and loved ones, there was a real price to pay back at home. But now we're in two wars, and whether you disagree with them or not, we're not being asked to sacrifice at all. But there are thousands of Americans of all walks of life who are away from home making that sacrifice for our benefit. So I say all this just to remind you that on this Veterans Day, take a moment to either thank a vet or just think about those who are serving and have served in our nation's defense. I know that they're out there because I hear from them every now and then. They're listening, and they're wishing that they were home brewing and drinking good beer with you. So I can tell you that whether or not we're thinking of them, they're thinking of us. So raise a pint to a veteran today. Off the soapbox and onto a lighter note, Steve writes in, I am a brew-in-the-bag brewer in Middle Tennessee. The Aussie term brew-in-a-bag is really not fully correct. When the bag is put in the kettle, it's a bag in a kettle. Add grains and water, it's a mash tun. When the bag is pulled and drained, it's a louder tun. If the bag is dunked in another kettle at of 170-degree Fahrenheit water, you do a batch sparge. Brew-in-a-bag really is not a lot different than any other brewing system, just a bit more simple. Also, you can get better efficiency with smaller grind and better loudering. Just a thought. Well, thanks, Steve. I appreciate that. Brew in a bag, you're right. It uses the same principles as we've used in other methods, just with less gear. By the way, I brewed another batch of my 100% wheat beer this past weekend in a bag, which is pretty much, as I understand it, the only way that you can do that. It's a session beer, just a session beer, only 6 pounds of malted wheat in 5 gallons. However, thanks to help from Norm on Twitter, I figured out that I got around 87.5% efficiency. Not bad. Speaking of brew in a bag versus other brewing methods, don't forget about our current Brew Your Own Magazine Basic Brewing Radio Collaborative experiment that's going on now. We're asking you to compare two of the following: fly sparging, batch sparging, no sparging, or brew in a bag. So for more details on that, check out last week's show if you haven't already. And I think our deadline, what did we say, January 6th or something like that? So you've got some time. take advantage of it. I plan on doing mine soon. And if you did our aging experiment where we asked you to put beers in the attic, in the basement, and in the fridge to see how they're affected over time by different temperatures, you can send us your data now. The form is now online at basicbrewing.com/experiment, and I hope to be evaluating our beers for one last time soon. So please send us your data, basicbrewing.com/experiment. More than I would like to admit, I get questions and email that I'm clueless about, frankly. it's happening less often over time, but this letter from Kyle in California was one of those that I was clueless about. Kyle says, I just bought some BLC, or beer line cleaner, due to letting my lines full of foam dry out. Stupid me, he says. I'm having trouble finding information on leaving mixed ratio BLC in a corny all the time. Would it be harmful, or how long is too long to soak the lines? He says Star San has been debunked as dangerous to cornies, so I believe this is going to be a similar telephone game of hype. Well, I told Kyle that I was clueless, and I suggested that he contact the manufacturer for advice, and I'm grateful to Kyle that he did. And he did. He wrote back with what he found. He says, National Chemical tells me that it is about 0.2% caustic at the prescribed dilution versus 3% in breweries. He speculated a very long time to harm the stainless, if at all. However, in the interest of the keg, to keep contact to a few weeks max, if practical. As to the lines, overnight with a thorough rinse is perfectly safe if necessary. Advised a long-term storage of mixed BLC in a plastic vessel, such as a bleach bottle or a 5-gallon water bottle. I keep 5 gallons of Star San, Kyle says, in a bottle, and it's very convenient. Well, thanks, Kyle. That's good to hear information from the source. By the way, on the advice of Andy Sparks, I've been keeping a spray bottle of Star San around for quick insurance as I'm hooking up a keg or something like that. Just a little spritz to sanitize just an individual item every now and then. Very handy. Now, in the old days, or so the story goes, when they had wooden mash tuns, some brewers would heat the mash with hot rocks. Well, nowadays, brewers don't have to do that, but the ones that do, say Stein Brewing or Stone Brewing, add some interesting flavors to the beer. So let's head out to Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, to see what the members of the Fellowship of Oklahoma Ale Makers think of the process. Well, we are here in Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, standing around a fire with rocks on top of it, with members of the, let me see if I can get this right, the Fellowship of Oklahoma Ale Makers.
Correct.
Foam. And guys, introduce yourselves.
I'm Gene Collins.
And we're at your house.
Yes.
David Salmon.
Ryan Mann.
And you guys, this is the third annual Stein Brew, is that what it is?
Yes, it is. The third year we've done this.
So, what are we doing here? It looks like we're barbecuing rocks.
Yeah, pretty much. No, we're actually heating the rocks because as soon as we get done mashing and doing our runoff, we're going to throw the really hot rocks into the wort, and the show will start.
Now, give us some. Who wants to give the history on this style of brewing? Where does this come from? I mean, it sounds like a crazy thing to do, but why?
It started in Germany back in the days before they had metal tuns that they could apply heat directly to. So this was their means of doing everything from mashing to boiling, and so it's kind of a historical style that's indicative to Germany.
And you're heating these rocks up on the fire, but these aren't just any ordinary rocks, right?
That's right. They're granite that we got from Gene got from a monument company, and we broke it up with the sledgehammer a couple of years ago. And that was a lot of fun.
It's about 120 pounds worth.
And we try to make them about the size of a grapefruit or something like that. And they
about a kilo a piece.
Yeah.
And that's just for ease of use, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
So why couldn't you use just, you know, the decorative rocks around your patio there?
Because they go kapowie.
And why is that? I mean, why wouldn't just any ordinary rock work?
It has to be a hard rock that is not porous, so it can't absorb any water. If you had any water in it and you started heating them up, the pressure and the steam inside would split the rocks. So these are very, very hard, as Dave and I can attest to it, because we had to beat them apart with a sledgehammer.
And this is scrap from a monument company, and
best source we found for them. I mean, it's good, clean granite, and you know, it was, the price was right.
Free is always good.
Yeah, that's right.
So, what did you got, Ryan? What did you think when you got involved in this thing? Was this your third year as well?
Yeah, this is my third year. I thought we're going to be playing with fire and really hot rocks, and we're going to end up with beer in the end, so it sounds like fun.
That's a good attitude. Yeah.
So how long does it take to get the rocks up to temperature? Do you have any idea what kind of temperature we're looking at here?
It's going to be probably in about, what do you think, 750 degree range?
Yeah, at least, and it takes several hours, if not more. And we use a blower to get that fire really hot and so we can get those rocks hot enough to boil our wort with.
And they're sitting on this, it looks like a metal table on top of the fire.
Yes. That's a bottom of a commercial oven that I made into, I welded some legs onto it, made a little stand so we could set it over the rocks to try to keep so much of the ash off of it, and so you don't get quite as much of the acrid flavor from the ash into the beer.
But even yet, it still imparts a real smoky flavor into the beer.
Yeah, enough smoke around the edges to coat the rocks.
Yeah, I've had the beer from 2 years ago and from last year, and they're both really good. And I could taste caramelization in there, and I don't know if it was just my imagination or, you know, no, it'd be interesting to do a side-by-side comparison between the... Have you done a recipe that with this method and without?
Yeah, we have. David actually brewed a Steinbach Hellesbach last year that was pretty good.
Yeah, we liked it.
And he's brewed a regular Hellesbach, and there's a significant caramelization character to it that you don't find in the non-Stein version of it.
Yeah, a little caramelization and some of a smoky character is the principal things that it adds to it.
Yeah. So what beer styles are most appropriate for this technique?
Well, we did like a German ale the first year. It was a pretty good recipe, and the second year we did just an American brown ale, and again it had the smoky character. As it aged, I noticed that it seems to get a little vinous tasting.
The best styles are more on the malty side rather than the hoppy side, to let the smoky and that caramelization come through.
Now, what's the technique? I mean, once you do the mash in, and you do you collect your wort in the traditional way that you always do, then what? I mean, you've got all these rocks up on this metal table heating up. Then what happens?
We transfer the kegel of wort out here to the fire, and we start systematically dropping the rocks in a basket.
We have a basket, yeah, that... like a turkey fryer basket, yeah, isn't it?
Stainless steel turkey fryer basket with holes in it. Allows the wort to drain back out when we lift the rocks out when it's time for a new batch.
And we just more or less recycle the rocks in there to keep the boil perpetuated. So.
Oh, okay. So it's not just one pitching of rocks in there. You take them out and put them back on the fire.
Yeah, one at a time. And you can put one in and it'll make the wort boil for maybe 5 minutes.
Really? So one rock, one of those rocks, And by the way, we're taking video of this for Basic Brewing Video, and I'll probably be posting some photos on Facebook as well. But just one of those rocks will get, I assume we're doing, what's our volume here?
Yeah, I'm going to do a 10-gallon batch, and I think David's going to do 10 as well.
Yeah. It'll take a few rocks to get it started, but once we get it up to temperature, it sustains it pretty well.
Huh. And I assume it's fairly dramatic.
Yeah. It hisses and spits pretty aggressively, yeah.
and this has turned into an annual event for the Brew Club.
Yeah, I invite all the members for the club out. I know a lot of them today are over at another club event of our Learn to Homebrew Day. It used to be Teach a Friend, but...
Now you can do it by yourself.
Yeah, you know, we've always kind of did our own thing, and you know, we hold this at the same time for the last 3 years. So the only difference is we're about 5 days off of what we did it last year.
So talk about today you've got an electric fan.
The fan is just a blower assembly out of a furnace, and
for a house.
Yeah.
It looks like a squirrel cage or one of those...
Yep, that's exactly what it is. Yeah. Just a squirrel cage out of a furnace. And with the, now, last year, we used Gene's leaf blower to heat up the rocks. And the year before that, we used his air compressor. So we're progressing, trying to find the best thing to keep a good, steady stream of air on there to make that fire... get up to the temperature that we need to get those rocks so we'll boil our wort.
Yeah, and Gene didn't appreciate us trying to burn up his air compressor the first year.
we're always looking for something new, but this seems to be pretty good because it's a constant speed and you don't have to sit there and hold it. So, I mean, we're always experimenting with new sources. I think we're a little hard-pressed to find somebody to build a big enough bellows to get that thing fueled up. So,
And in addition, we've got dry leaves back here in the backyard. So we're employing a sprinkler system, a yard sprinkler, behind the fire setup so that the burning embers that go blowing off don't set the neighborhood on fire.
I actually think we're under a burn ban right now, but... We had to take our chances, you know.
Well, let's hope the fire marshal doesn't live.
We live far enough out. We're not expecting him to come visit us today.
and it's well tended. It's not like it's being left alone yet.
we still have about 1.49 acres around here to keep from being on fire. So we'll be all right.
So how much wood do you go through in a brew day?
Usually about a half a rick. I mean, we tended up. This year is a little different because I didn't get busy and go find me some good old coal that we usually supplicate in the fires. Mm. And believe it or not, that stuff just really burns hot. So we're probably not going to be as hot as we were previous years, but we should be hot enough to do what we're after today.
So if you're thinking about doing one of these, if their listeners are thinking about doing one of these, what are the tips that you guys can give to that you didn't think of when you were first starting out?
I guess proper things to handle the rocks with. We actually managed to scare up some tongs that we can handle the rocks. Another good thing, and Ryan here donated it to me, was a stainless steel turkey basket. So that really helped, because otherwise you're sitting there fishing the rocks out of a dark wort, and it's hard to find them all.
Yeah, a dark boiling wort.
Absolutely.
Hard to get a hold of them with tongs sometimes.
Yeah, and you don't want that tong flavor in the beer as much as as the rocks. You do get some ash blowing up around the on the rocks from underneath the table. What off flavors would you worry about with that?
Well, I've did a little bit of research, and you know, when you get a lot of ash in your wort, it's going to give it a bit of a acrid flavor. So we're trying to avoid as much of that as we can by using a closed platform versus like an expanded metal. I've got some expanded metal in there that we could use, but I think that a more of an indirect approach is favorable.
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks really cool, and I can't wait to. We'll put the sound of the. I'm going to be shooting video of this when you drop the rocks in, and we'll put the sound of the rocks on there. Any final words before we proceed with the mash rest right now? But the excitement is about to happen.
Well, I guess we just all have to kind of be careful that we don't spill hot wort on us. So far, we've not had any casualties other than a glove last year. But
first year, you know, what was really funny is the first year we did this, we really didn't know what to expect. You know, it's as with most experiments, there's unintended consequences, and so you just kind of got to take it as it comes. But we. Like he said, we managed to melt a glove the first year. But, you know, as with most everything else in your brewing regimen, safety is the ultimate concern, you know. From dropping a glass buoy to burning yourself with hot rocks, you know, you still got to protect yourself. So we use proper equipment and you know, well, the first year we made the mistake of drinking like 6 big IPAs right in a row. So we were a little buzzed when we did this, so we're not going to be doing that again.
Safety first.
Yeah, we were judging the club only competition, weren't we?
Yes. We did a club only, and then we had like 6 big beers right in a row. So that, yeah, not a good plan.
Is that where the original idea came from? Was it?
No, we were actually assembled. So now we had it in the works. It's just not a very good methodology. So we have to protect ourselves. So it's safety first now.
Well, as with any process, it gets refined the more times you do it. So, like I say, this is going to be fun. I appreciate you guys inviting us.
Well, thank you. We're looking forward to the hissy fit.
When I say us, I mean the listeners and viewers, and not just the royal us.
Well, we'll probably be doing it next year, so if any of them want to come out, we're in the great state of Oklahoma where it's legal to brew now.
Yeah, yeah. Cheers to that. I don't have a beer in my hand, but cheers to that.
I think we're like the 49th state to make it legal, and I think the only one left is Mississippi.
Or Alabama.
I think we got two left.
Mississippi, yeah. And Alabama are left,
48, 49. We're usually kind of slow around here, but
we'll get there.
Yeah, we eventually get there.
Well, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Okay, we're still mashing, but we're sampling this really cool, what is it, 2-year-old Berliner Weiss?
Yes.
Talk about this beer.
We won a third place in the MCAB with it. It's like the ultimate summer beer. It's a lawnmower beer.
Yeah, it's delicious. How'd you make it? Give us the secrets.
Well, we kind of took a more traditional approach to it. Back then, they didn't offer a special yeast blend like they do now for it, so we did an actual sour mash where we used acid malt or sour malt depending on who the producer is, and then we put it in a bucket for like 3 or 4 days with a light bulb on it, tried to maintain about a 120 degree temperature for a few days to get it nice and ripe. Then we finished it up.
So what did it smell like at the end of that time?
Pretty tart. Pretty ripe.
Did it smell like a mistake at that point, or did you think you were on the right track?
We felt we were on the right track. I don't know. David, what did you think?
I kind of wondered a little bit, though, but I was pleasantly surprised in the end.
It had the funk, that's for sure.
So what do you do after that? You've got a sour mash. That's not all of your malt bill, is it? How does that work? Really?
It was a total malt bill, complete mash. When we finished what we thought was an adequate time to develop enough lactic acid character in it, we took it and actually boiled it for like, what, 30 minutes?
If that long. I don't think it was, but
20, 30 minutes.
Probably less.
Just to make sure everything was somewhat sanitary. And then we fermented it out with just a straight 1007 Y yeast.
Huh. Well, it's delicious. I mean, what's the ABV on this? It's got to be low.
Oh, it's like 2. Probably 8. 2.2. It's very low.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I kind of consider it like drinking lemonade. Mm-hmm. It is what they would consider a Kindle beer in Germany.
So what are the hops like?
We used some...
That was 2 years ago. I don't remember right now.
I'm trying to remember. I've got it written down someplace. I think we used just a really light hop regimen and...
Yeah, and, probably Hallertau or something.
Yeah, something, 3% alpha acid, something pretty neutral. And, we fermented it out and it turned out to be pretty clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's amazing. I've got it. See if you can hear the bee flying around my head. The beer is so good. The bee is still so good. The beer is so good the bee wants it too. Well, it's delicious, and I wanted to talk about that. My attic, we're doing the brew your own collaborative experiment with aging the beers in different places. I found out that my attic in the summertime gets around 120 degrees, so that would be a perfect place to do a sour mash.
Yeah, we actually thought about sticking it up in the attic.
I think I did have it in the attic for a while, but I didn't have a constant temperature, so I brought it down and then got the little heat lamp and put over it and put my thermometer in there so I could watch it and make sure I got that temperature I wanted. So it seemed to work a little better, although it kind of melted the side of the of the cooler I had it in.
Yeah, but fortunately we didn't have any of that medicinal flavor.
That's probably why we didn't win first place.
It's a little plasticky for some reason.
We did get those comments, actually.
You know, the only bad thing about the beer is we just didn't make enough of it.
Yeah.
We need to, triple the recipe next time.
Well, I appreciate your sharing one of the last bottles. It's wonderful.
Well, thank you very much.
Homebrewing is a fun experience, so there's always new things to do.
There you go. Thanks, guys. Mm-hmm. We hear some more information on that delicious Berliner Weiss from Gene. Gene says, we actually hit the sacrification rest at 148 degrees for about 40 minutes, then let it cool to 120 degrees and held it there for what I remember was 4 days, as we explained. This was to develop the lactic acid character. When we thought this had developed sufficiently after 4 days, we reheated, sparged, ran off, and boiled for 20 to 30 minutes to kill off enzymatic activity, to stop the continued lactic acid production, and to sterilize the wort. Then we cooled the wort and pitched Y yeast 1007, German ale yeast, and fermented at 70 degrees. Well, I appreciate the further details from Gene on that, because that's definitely a beer that I'm going to have to brew next summer. You would think that you would do the sacrification rest after you did the sour mash, but apparently not. Now, at the end of the mash for this Stein beer, the guys collected their wort, brought the kettle up close to boiling temperature, and transferred the kettle to a metal sort of gardening wagon, and they trucked it up the hill to be closer to the fire. Here's what happened next.
Bop, bop, fizz, fizz.
Hot enough yet?
Hot. What?
That fire's hot.
That's what it needs to be.
Oh yeah!
There we go. Let's see. 310.
Yeah. 11. That's a boil.
You're going pretty good now. You probably better let it go for a while.
good.
We got a little boil.
We got a boil?
We got a boil. Not bad.
Yep. Well, that fire is hot.
That is.
Damn, I'll be ready for a hot dog here in a minute.
Thanks, Dave rocks. And Ryan.
Huh?
Thanks, Dave and Ryan.
Is that what you expected to see? Did we deliver on our promises?
Yeah, look at that. It's a continuous boil.
Yeah?
Nothing but a bunch of hot rocks, basically.
Pretty amazing, huh?
I expected it to settle down pretty quickly, but it's still going.
They retain a lot of heat.
Yeah, it gurgles for quite a while.
So you got more rocks ready for when it calms down.
Mm-hmm.
When we get too full, pull those out, stick them back on the fire.
So inside there is the basket.
Yes.
Stainless steel basket.
Hope we don't have a boil over. It looks like it's
Yeah, really. We haven't had that problem yet.
I think I have my
squirt bottle.
Squirt bottle. I might ought to go run and get it.
Yeah, just in case.
Run is the right word.
Boil that cabbage down, boys. Turn the oak around.
Going one.
Yeah, it's getting pretty good. It looks like most of the foam and stuff is. And that just gives it a real nice little caramel note.
Boiling with headstones.
Dead man's beer.
It's a true dead guy beer.
Dead guy beer. Oh, Salmon, he almost succeeded in burning my whole wood pile.
Yeah,
Yeah, Salmon was going after it.
Freaking pyromaniac.
He's got it burnt down.
Yeah, your wife was pushing him, though, man. She's telling him exactly what to do.
I was like, pick a good one.
Yeah, I'm hot one.
He's over there doing his
sparge,
the thing.
So how often between rocks? How much time between rocks do you think?
No, probably 5 minutes. I mean, you get your initial boil going, we probably just went a little crazy, but I mean, it's still boiling. It's not a rigid, rapid boil, but
pick up a couple
it's still boiling pretty good.
To add another one?
Yeah, I think we can do another one.
Big or little?
Yeah, whatever you grab there, that one right there would be great. And now the one close to you.
This one?
Yep. Just lower it down in there, don't drop it. It's pretty instantaneous boil.
Yep. Not dropping is easier said than done.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm trying to minimize the tongue contact with the wort too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's hot anyway.
So, Gene, how is this any different than a traditional Stein beer? Is this pretty much how they did it?
The difference is they did everything from heat and water to...
It's the only way they had to heat the...
Yeah, I mean, mostly it's going to be a boil process because they had no way to heat the tun. They had a way to boil water, but no way to heat the tun.
And when your tun's made out of wood
you have very little options on how to add heat to it.
So, Gene?
Yes?
Are we done?
Almost. We're getting there.
So it's boiled for an hour?
Yeah, same regimen as normal, and then we're going to pull it out and cool it. And then hopefully these things will rejuvenate and we can do David's batch. His is going to be a really good beer. It is a crippling beer.
But that's another story
and another time. It is really a good beer, though.
Thank you, sir, for inviting us.
Thanks for coming. We had a good time.
Well, that was fun. Thanks again to Gene and the other Foam members for the hospitality. What an awesome day. Be sure to check out the episode of Basic Brewing video that I posted this week. You'll get to see the process for yourself. Very fun to shoot. That's the kind of video project that I love to do. Lots to look at and really cool sound. And it's just a fun story. Check it out, basicbrewingvideo.com. In the meantime, if you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to james@basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com. And please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Our new DVD is on its way, they say, Extract Brewing and Partial Mashing. And our 2011 Brewer's Logbooks are here already in stock. Check out our online store for more information, and I'll be tweeting when the new DVD is in. In the meantime, you can check out our other DVDs, Stepping into All Grain, Low-Tech Lagering and Decoction Mashing, and Introduction to Wine Kits. We've got combo deals to save you a few bucks if you want to buy more than one DVD at a time, and you can check out our Basic Brewing shirts in the store, too. You can see a listing of the fine folks across the country who sell our DVDs on basicbrewing.com, and if there isn't a vendor in your area, you can order them online in our online shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody who's continued to click on our Amazon.com link. We appreciate the support there. Our featured products this week that were purchased through the link are The Vault of Walt and Camping Large Goatskin Wine Bota. Thanks again, everybody. And remember, I can't tell who bought what, so no worries there. Just click on the Amazon.com logo on our site the next time you feel like Amazon shopping, and we appreciate your support. Don't forget our associate links for the American Homebrewers Association and Brew Your Own Magazine, too. That's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer, production help for Basic Brewing Radio, and our website is provided by Kelly Dots. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.